Right, I want to greet each and everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here with y'all this morning. It's been a real blessing to be here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for your blessings upon us. And thank you for Jesus. We just ask that you'd help us be faithful. Lord, be with those that can't be here. Be with Connie and Nancy and Kamal. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon them. Help them. Again, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that you would give us wisdom, Father. And Lord, that you'd help us be faithful to you. Give us the words to speak, Lord, and more importantly, the ears to hear, Father. Lord, that we might be in tune with you and walk with you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to the second letter of Timothy. We'll just begin in verse 1, chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I always appreciate these letters, and I sometimes don't think we really pay much attention to them. You know, we just say hello to people sometimes. And these letters that the brethren wrote, these oftentimes it said, I thank God, or it says to my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. That's just, it's just so neat that just pronouncing a blessing. You know, I'm not one just to say name it and claim it or whatever, but you know, our words are powerful. And you know, maybe it's encouragement we might just place upon someone when we say peace be with you or God's grace be upon you. This grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. And that's what God is offering to us. And so when we proclaim that to others, we're reinforcing or we're vocalizing the things that God is offering to us. Grace, mercy, and peace be upon you. And I just, I think sometimes, you know, it's, there's things involved that we don't understand, but just making those proclamations or proclaiming those upon people, there's something to it. Our words mean something. You know, it's Jesus, the story where he saw a fig tree far off and he went to that fig tree and he got there expecting to get some fruit. They were hungry and wanted to eat and got there and here the thing didn't have a piece of fruit on it. And he said, no man ever eat fruit from you again. And a couple days later, they came by, or some time went by later, I don't know how long, and the disciples came back and they noticed this fig tree was dried up from the roots. And the disciples were kind of amazed at this. And Jesus said, you know, if you say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and with faith and believe it, it'll happen. In other words, his words, no fruit be grown on you forever. Nobody's going to eat anything. And the fruit, the tree just died. And, you know, while we don't claim that we have power just to do things like that, our words do mean something. And they have an effect on people. I mean, there's some of the hardest memories that I've had is whenever I've told people things that were so hard for me to say and so hard for me to tell them. And sometimes I don't even know why I was saying those things, but I just said, this may be your last time. Or this may be, you know, this, you're heading into something very dangerous. And just warn people about things like that. And then see the thing come upon them. Or see something happen to them. It's fearful. We're going to talk about fear in a little bit. And when I say fearful, it's not a trembling fear, but an awe fear or a respect fear. And it's almost makes you not want to say things sometimes to people because you're afraid that they might happen like that. And it's kind of scary to see the times in life that I've said things like that, and it's come to pass, and it's just like it is fearful. But the same way we can, Paul, like in this case, where he said, "Grace, mercy, and peace be upon you," and it's a blessing that we can be that to people as well. It says, "Longing." Or I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Excuse me. Here he said, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience. And I think this also is going to get into where we're kind of headed, having a clear conscience. Just doing what we're supposed to be doing. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean everything is, you know, we never make a mistake. But having a clear conscience, it means that, you know, I've told people before, you know, since I started following the Lord, and not without fail, but since I started following the Lord, I've looked back and I see areas where, well, I wish I would have done this. Or that, you know, I wish I could have done that a little bit different. But when I look back, or when I really truly think about it, I did the best I could, or all that I knew to do at the time. No matter what it cost, or no matter what it might have been, I made my decisions based on what I knew at the time. You know, and then look back, you know, the hindsight is 20/20, and you can look back and see what we should have done or could have done. Thank you. But we can't really do that because that's not the guide we're going by. What we're going by is, are you doing what you're supposed to do right now? Are you making your decisions based on where you're at right now? Are you being honest to where you can live with a clean conscience? You know, looking back and say, well, I wish I would have done that. That doesn't affect your conscience. But that part that affects it is where we know that I should have been doing right. And I made my decision, for good or bad, with all that I had, choosing what was right at the moment, at the time. And had a clear conscience. And he constantly remembers you in our prayers day and night. And I think we don't take this quite as serious enough to constantly remember each other, other brethren, in our prayers day and night. We have a God that has the ear of those who are praying. Longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I might be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. This is a blessing heard a little about family this morning, but he's mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. You know, we can pass our faith on to our children, not just our dogma and our doctrines. That's worthless. But we can pass our faith on to our children. And there's nothing more powerful that has more effect on our children than our faith. And like I said, I'm not talking about our church belief or whatever, but actual faith in God, actual trust in God. And we can pass that along. You know, we can't just force them into it. We can train our children to be little monkeys and act like, you know, you can train dogs or mice, you can train anything to act a certain way. And I'm not talking about that. And that's, religion does that. And we're susceptible to that, of just being trained. But what I'm talking about is more than just being trained to act a certain way, to do this or do that, or not do this or not do that. But have faith in God. Have faith in Christ. And have ourselves actually connected to Him. And be able to have something worth passing down. You know, a lot of times religion looks so ugly, and when you step back and look at it, that ain't worth passing down. You know, the fighting and the bickering and the division and all of that kind of stuff that tears people up and tears churches up. That's not worth, if that's not worth passing to anybody. And I'm not saying that, you know, we won't go through things like that. But we can do this by faith. You know, the storms and all the things that come on, like we were singing about, you know, we can go through whatever God lays in our way, or whatever the world lays in our way. Sometimes people ask, you know, how's the world treating you? And I'll say, well, I don't know about the world, how they're treating me, but God is good. And He's good to us. And it doesn't matter what we have to go through. I've said it a bunch. I'll say it again. You know, it doesn't matter what the world throws at us. The only thing that you can control in your life is your attitude. And you can control that. You know, a lot of things seem out of our control, but you can control your attitude. If you can't, the Lord can help you. It's available to us if we want it. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Most Bibles say fear there, and it's timidity and fear. This is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. It being timid, afraid to move, afraid to act. It's a fear that paralyzes us. A fear that stops us. That's what fear is. You know, like I said, being in awe or in fear of God that moves us to courage. You know, it's almost like, I wish there was almost two different words there, and there may be, I just don't know them, but most of the places in the Bible it talks about fear God. And then the next thing it says, fear not. You know, and they kind of contradict themselves. The difference in this fear is which direction it takes you. It's not just a, you know, the fear that's good pushes you closer to God. The fear that's bad drives you away from Him. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. You know, fear does not come from God. Next time you're tempted to be afraid, I want you to remember this. The next time you get scared or afraid, fear does not come from God. You can decide who it comes from. But I will assure you, fear does not come from God. You know, if we read the Bible, and how many times Jesus, what if you just thought of two words that Jesus repeated more than any others when he was talking to his disciples, and all through the Bible when God is talking to his people, what's he say? Fear not. Fear not. That fear that comes upon us, that controls us, that chooses our direction, that makes us choose a different direction or choose a direction, doesn't come from God. It absolutely does not come from God. So remember that the next time you're tempted to give in to fear. This is not from God. You know, just like our attitudes, we can control whether we give in to fear or we don't. God has given that power when Jesus Christ died and took the keys of death and hell from Satan and broke his power on us. He gave us the power of our will again, so that we can make these choices. And, you know, we think of sin sometimes as these bad, dark things, you know, which they are. It's evil, just rampant. It's just going all on around us. The things that the world does, it's sin. But you know, that's not where it starts. It starts with some decisions that, with us anyway, that we're not too worried about any of you going out. Well, you went out and got drunk and cheated on somebody last night. You know, that's not what we're too worried about. But what is it that God is wanting from us? It's faith. And the opposite of that faith is fear. What will separate us from God? Because you went out and got drunk? Because you went to a place you shouldn't have went last night? That's not going to separate us from God. It will. You're already there. But I'm talking about us. What is it that's dangerous? You know, whenever we talk about danger, we can conjure up all the things that we're scared of that are dangerous. You know what's dangerous? Fear. When you look in the world, the political leaders of the world that control people, that have power over people. How do they gain power over people? You know, one way is by anger. There's groups of different people, this group and that group. Politicians or powerful people love to divide people in groups, and they pit groups against each other, and then they say, well, I'll take care of this group for you. And so this group's over here is mad because they got mistreated at one time. So they're anger and they're bitter and they're controlled because they're anger and bitter. They're angry and bitter. People use those things to control people, and they do fear the same way. Fear is probably as much as anger. You know, we saw it during this, you know, this pandemic that happened a while back. People were afraid. And when people are afraid, they will sell their souls for safety. Peace and safety. And they will just say, you take complete control over everything around me so that I can have a little bit of peace and safety and you can control my life. And it doesn't, you know, that sounds pretty simple, but that's exactly what people do. So they're being controlled by something. When we yield ourselves to give up our control, we are being controlled by someone else. Either faith or fear. Where does fear come from? Not from God. Because when we yield to that fear, what we do is we give our control to someone else, looking for something safe. Looking for some security, looking for some peace. When fear is causing us to do anything, we are allowing ourselves to be controlled by something else other than God. And you know, the ultimate thing is who controls us. Who we allow to control our souls. For I remind you, for God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. In some of the other Bibles it says has given us a sound mind. A sound mind. Which is power and love and discipline. Power over our own souls. Power over our own decisions. And love and discipline. That's a sound mind. Fear, being controlled by fear, is not a sound mind. It's unstable. It's not disciplined. Get thrown to and fro all over the world. It just goes, if you look at the world and you look at people, the world today, you know, the children today, they don't even know what they are. Some of them think they're animals. That's not a sound mind. That does not come from God. It's the opposite of that. God has not given us that spirit of fear. A sound mind isn't controlled by the outward circumstances that come upon us. A sound mind is able to go right through those things. That's what we're after. A sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and discipline. You know, we get something going on and we run here and there and here and there, and somebody tells us this, and we get scared, and we read over here and they tell us this, and we get more scared, and then we jump in and make a decision. That's not time to make a decision. That's not power. That's not love. And that's not discipline. Look at these things. You know, I thought about this verse whenever I of a sound mind, and I've thought about people that sometimes when we get older, and our minds go. And we think, well, they're not of sound mind anymore. You know, and you begin to think, well, you know, is that what God's talking about? Just because we can't control, or just because our mind's kind of out of whack here? And I thought about that. And anyway, the other morning I woke up and it just, our mind is not our soul. You know, we said a few weeks ago about, it doesn't matter how old you are. Inside, most people think that they're about 25 or 30. They feel like they're a young person. That is your soul speaking through everything. Our bodies get old, and sometimes our bodies feel feeble, and they feel weak, and just feel like not doing nothing. But still inside, there's just this young vitality that's going inside, and it's just, that's our soul. And our soul and our mind are not the same thing. Our mind is just what expresses or controls our body and makes the expressions. But you know, our minds deteriorate too, and they don't work the way they're supposed to. That doesn't mean you don't have a sound mind. It might physically, but we can still be sound of soul, even though our mind may leave us. They're different. You know, a lot of times we think, well, that's who I am. It's because that's the way I think. That's where I'm thinking. But we're deeper than that. And that's why it's important that we feed our souls. You know, we're worried about our bodies, and we take care of our bodies and feed them just right. But if we feed our souls, it doesn't matter what happens to our body. Because our soul is going to live. Our body is going to dry up and blow away. That's why it's important for our souls to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. The body doesn't take any of that with it. The mind that's controlling the body doesn't take any of that with it. It's deeper than just our mind. It's in our souls where all those things come from. And we control our mind. Our soul controls our mind. That's why we have that power to make those choices. But when we don't let our soul control our mind, and we let circumstances control our mind, that's working against our souls. Anyway, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but that of a sound mind. Like I say, our minds might become unsound looking, but our souls can still be sound. And when that connection deteriorates and the kind of mind takes on its own, that's something else. But we can still feed that soul. We can feed our souls. And we can fear not. We can walk with God with our souls. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
I've noticed before working for people, you'll get around somebody that's just cursing and swearing and using the Lord's name in vain sometimes. Things would just go wrong. I mean, one after another. Like, it's like you couldn't have planned it any worse if you tried sometimes. And it just makes you wonder if there's something to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just promoting that themselves.
Yeah, and not saying that things were bad to start with, and that's why they were, had the attitude. It's like, just starting off that way, and things just go bad.
Brian, are y'all going to be here tonight? Okay. Well, I think Lainey's got a birthday. Okay. Up here on the front row that's got birthdays too. Cortina and Marina. Yeah, let's go ahead.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cortina. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Well, anyone have anything else you'd like to share?
2:30 at Mount Vernon and then Nakoba.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock and have fellowship meal, communion. Well, God bless you all. Depart in peace. God be with you till we meet again.